Hello, I'm Eric Corman, Communications Director at the League of Education Voters. Ann Rivers became the 18th Legislative District State Senator in mid-2012 after Joseph Zarelli decided to step down after 17 years of service. It was a straightforward transition for her and for the people of the 18th District. She was already representing them in the House. In November 2012, she was elected to a full four-year term in the Senate and was re-elected in 2016. Senator Rivers chairs the Senate Healthcare Committee and serves on Ways and Means, Early Learning and K-12 Education, and the Rules Committees. Since we have a part-time citizen legislature, her primary occupation is as president of a government and public affairs consulting firm based in La Center, where she lives with her husband Fred and sons Rex and Derek. Senator Rivers has a bachelor's degree in political science, minoring in natural science and history, and a secondary education teaching certificate. She is active in her community, belonging to the Greater Clark County Rotary and other organizations, and volunteering for events such as the American Cancer Society's West Clark County Relay for Life, where she has worn the hat of publicity chairwoman. She also serves on the board of directors for several organizations, including Innovate Washington. Senator Rivers, why did you decide to run for office in the first place?
You know, I made the determination that I wanted to be a different kind of leader in participating in public life. I wanted to be in the vein of someone who listens carefully to what they hear in the community and translates that to action in the government that represents the people. So for me, it was really about making sure that the voices were heard of the people that were in our district, but not just our district, our region, and our state. So for me, it just seemed like a natural progression in what I wanted to do, interjecting the piece in about being sure that we were attentive to the people who we represent.
Did you have a mentor? Was there someone that inspired you to run?
I had so many mentors from both sides of the aisle. Former Representative Betty Sue Morris, who became a county commissioner in Clark County, really learned a lot from her. She was a Democrat, though she had very conservative fiscal leanings as a Democrat. And then on the Republican side, just really too many to list. But a lot of my thinking was formed by Senator Zarelli.
How did your family react when you first said, you know what, I want to run for the House of Representatives?
They were surprised, but they also were very, very supportive. You know, the reality is for any elected official, not just myself, you can't do this job unless you have the full support of your family, because they're the ones picking up the slack for you at home when you're not there to do all the odd jobs. They've been really terrific, and they also share the sentiments with me that they hear when they're out in the community. As a matter of fact, I just got a distracted driving bill passed yesterday that my husband had heard at work people were really concerned about and said, I think you really need to think about this. They're wonderful, they're supportive, and they're part of the communication network that helps me to be a good senator.
And that's interesting that it was people in the community who were talking about distracted driving. Is that normal for you to go out in the community, listen to what they're saying, and then use that to inform what kind of legislation you work on?
Absolutely. And this gets to education, because wherever I go, people are talking about education. Perhaps they're the parent of a small child in a classroom that's overcrowded, or maybe they're seniors who are saying, I don't mind paying so much for property tax as long as I know that there's accountability in the schools and that we're getting an excellent product for the money that I'm paying. So we hear across the spectrum. I, of course, hear from teachers, and I'm a teacher myself. I taught middle school math and science. The idea that there are multiple perspectives regarding education, and each sector believes that their perspective is, of course, the most important, but failing to recognize that other people feel differently. So it's balancing all those concerns to come up with something in the middle where we have great accountability for teachers and for students, that we have high rates of graduation, that we are being very mindful of the taxpayers as we spend their dollars on education. You know, when you look at the whole spectrum, it's a very complex web, and finding that middle spot is important, but not easy.
Well, you're right in the middle of all that right now with all of this education funding conundrum. I mean, you've got the $100,000 a day fine going on, and the Supreme Court basically said you've got to find a solution to this McCleary issue by September or else. I'm curious, where do you see the opportunities for finding a compromise to all this?
The great thing about the situation that we're in right now is it's forcing us to look at items that have never been on the table before. per pupil funding, so the funding actually follows the student, and where we can give money to a student based on their specific needs. If they're English language learners, if they have special needs, if they're in poverty, all of these different things would add dollars on top of a base rate to be sure that the needs of that child were met. So I think in that regard, it's a terrific opportunity. We've made a $4.6 billion investment over the past 4 years. We're staged to make another significant investment. And I think it's time for us to show to the people of this state that we are mindful of their taxpayer dollar and that we're mindful of high quality education that does not make a child's educational opportunities dependent on their zip code.
We're all about making sure that the kids who need help get the help that they need. And there's certainly different ways of looking how to pay for it. I know that the Senate has their ideas of how you'd like to do that. The House has theirs. Where do you see common ground?
Well, I think that there are opportunities to look at the money that's being spent in the existing system to make sure that the money's being spent wisely. I also believe that there is some consensus gathering around the idea that the levy structure that we currently have is failing our students. It has created an opportunity gap. It has created an educational haves and educational have-nots. And so I think by looking at the constitutionally allowable common schools levy, I think that that is the largest part of what gets us to a solution. Discussions are ongoing, but I believe that that will be part of the final solution.
I know that there's some policy points that the Senate and the House also agree on. I think one of them is raising starting salaries for teachers. Are there other things, too, where there's agreement?
We've reached agreement on a couple of different items, but we're keeping them in the parking lot for now, and we revisit periodically. Mostly, we're just ticking off other teacher compensation issues. Most importantly, we have to address how those levies get spent. Recall that the Supreme Court said you cannot force the locals to pay for basic education. So we've got to go through and say, what is basic education? And what we have found is that our school districts have been, through no fault of their own, been spending a lot of local dollars on basic education. So going through that to make sure that we not only solve the problem for today, but make sure it's solved in perpetuity by being prescriptive about what they can and can't spend those local levy dollars on. I think that that's going to be really important and something we're focusing a lot of effort on. In terms of teacher compensation, it is true that it is significantly more expensive to live out in the San Juan Islands or up in Seattle than it is, say, in Assotin County over in Clarkston or even in Sunnyside. So we have to be mindful of that cost of living regionally, and so we're looking at different ways that maybe we can offset that so that teachers can afford to live where they work and have that further connection to their students in the community.
You talk about the community, very important. If I'm a parent or if I'm someone in the general public, how can I be part of the process?
Well, I think it's important for parents to engage daily in the classroom, but I think it's also important for them to come to town hall meetings, share what they're thinking about the type of education that their child's receiving. Are you happy with this? Where do we need to do some work? Where are our opportunities? And also to hear the perspectives of others in the room so that they go, oh, yes, what I'm thinking is important, but this is also important. Because I do believe that the best solutions do come from the middle. And the only way that we have a middle is when we have lots of people around talking about what the problems are and what potential solutions are. I absolutely think that parents are a part of the solution.
Well, other than finding a solution to the McCleary education funding conundrum, what are some of the other education issues you'd like to see resolved before the session finally ends, whenever that is?
We've actually already been very productive. We passed landmark legislation about paraeducator certification. When I was a teacher, the parapros in my room were there for special needs students, but just by their very presence, they helped me with classroom management because an extra set of adult eyes in the room is never a bad thing. We're taking that a step further. We're certifying them and we're educating them in content area for two purposes. The first is that they can really reduce the pressure on the teacher to help with answering questions in the classroom, help with grading papers to see if a student's on the right track or not, but also to create a teacher pipeline. Some of these folks may decide that they could be in front of a classroom. So we create that pipeline and assure that we have teachers constantly coming into the system who have high quality learning experiences on the job, and also who get to see highly qualified professionals manage the classroom, and therefore they're steeped in it. And I think it creates a richer opportunity for people to actually move into the teaching profession. Here's another part. When we all, with our very best intentions, passed 1351, the class size initiative, we weren't told that it could be a $12 to $15 billion problem. We were never told it would be that much. It creates a problem for some school districts who have no more land with which they could build schools. Many teachers don't want to go to a staggered school day. And so by putting an additional adult in the classroom, we can cut the class size literally in half for a fraction of the money. So for me, this takes care of 1351. It takes care of assuring a teacher pipeline, and it helps the existing teacher to alleviate the burden of papers and classroom management. So for me, I think the paraeducator bill might be the most important thing we've done this year. And I was proud to partner on that with Representative Berquist over in the House Democrat Caucus. Working together, we were able to come up with a bill that works and that is funded. So we're putting our money where our mouth is here, and I think that that's important.
As a middle school science and math teacher, what are you most proud of that you accomplished in the classroom?
The thing that I'm most proud of is that I got my kids' hands dirty. We did a lot of hands-on experiments. We made chicken mummies. We did volcanoes. We did all kinds of things because I think that by giving children experiential opportunities, it will develop a deep and abiding love of science. That was really a proud moment for me. Also, I have found that many students, by the time they're in sixth grade, they already hate math. And giving them opportunities to succeed and be able to get from I hate math to, you know, math's not so bad, to, hey, math's pretty cool and I love math. Watching that progression was, I think, one of the most gratifying things for me about teachers, seeing the growth and instilling that belief in students that they can do it. That's just awesome. You just can't beat that.
Ann Rivers represents the 18th Legislative District in Washington State. Senator Rivers, thank you so much for taking a few minutes.
My pleasure. Thank you.